The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces and a beautiful, beautiful good morning here in Sonoma County. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my technical engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, it's such a beautiful day. My heart goes out to all the folks across the country that are having such horror with the earthquakes and with floods and all these hurricanes. And when I got up this morning and I looked at how beautiful the day was, I said, thank you, Great Spirit, for allowing me to be here. And my condolences to all those people out there. You know, this too will pass. Just keep the faith and just keep hanging in there. Anyway, I have two special guests for this show joining me in the studio is Misty Harris, who's the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office of Community Engagement Liaison. I think this is one of the first positions that this type of position at the Sheriff's Office, which shows that they are trying to reach out, who will be talking about her position and what she does, some of her challenges. And then we're going to be talking with Liliana Galeria. She's going to be talking about DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, and what is happening in relation to this immigration policy that was put in place by President Obama. It's overwhelming to think that over 800,000 young people will be affected by this policy if it is rescinded. And the thing that disturbs me the most, and I speak from the heart of a mother, the heart of a grandmother, what disturbs me the most is these young people came forward trusting that our government was going to take care of them and was going to make the situation comfortable so they could stay in this country. And it's really, I just can't imagine what is going on with families when you have to worry about if your child's going to be deported. And then also that they lived here in the United States, where are they going to send them to? I mean, it's just a big, big question. Lots to think about. And I think what we have to think when we start thinking about these things, think about from the heart of a parent, from the heart of a mother, from the heart of a grandmother. How would you feel if this were your child? You know, and these are good young people that are going to college, that are trying to achieve something in their lives. So there's a lot to think about. And I'm sure when we have the discussion, it'll be interesting. And there's some issues around it that people need to understand what some of the rules and regulations. And that's why I decided to bring Liliana on. Anyway, Ken and I went to the Heirloom Festival on Thursday, and it was the last day of the event. And I got to tell you something. On the last day of the event, you get to get all these vegetables, and they're free. It's so much fun. I mean, it was just like being in this big market. And you know what was amazing? What was so amazing to me was to see how quickly we can change things. How quickly solar energy all of a sudden is not only has the prices dropped, but there's more and more opportunities available to us. You know, and then the climate was very, very, very interesting. Lots of different people speaking about the climate change and what's going on with the folks in Florida, Mexico, Texas, Los Angeles, and Oregon. And you know, it was, I was thinking about the climate deniers. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's climate change, it's not climate change, it's global warming. I mean, whatever title you give it is, it, to me, is so irrelevant. The most important thing is things are happening. We're having more fires, we're having more hurricanes, we're having more floods, we're having more tornadoes, all these different things. The planet is warming up, and if there is any possibility that it's happening because of human habits, human beings, some of the things that we put in the atmosphere, if there's just the slightest possibility, we just have to work to change it, folks. And what's so interesting is to watch how quickly things can change. We went on Sunday downtown to see the electric cars. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how many electric cars there are. I couldn't believe how quickly manufacturers geared up and are giving us this product already. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, if we would just start thinking about peace, love, compassion, and move forward instead of moving backwards with wars and some of the issues that are going on in our communities and in our country and in our world, we might be a lot happier, you know, but we need to start working together. In fact, there's a good song I'm going to play when we take our musical break that I'd like people to pay special attention to. Well, I want to do a special shout out to Moms Across America, founder Zen Honeycutt. They were at the Heirloom Festival, and it was so much fun to meet her. Now, there is an example of one woman making a change. She got this idea about Moms Across America because she found out that her young boy was allergic to food which had GMOs in it. Then all of a sudden, she started this whole organization. Now they have like 250 chapters across the United States, and here's this young woman traveling in this RV to raise awareness about GMOs and its toxic exposure and empower leadership and create healthy communities. You know, a special shout out to her, and I just hope one day that she comes by my house with that wonderful RV. Well, a little on a note of sadness here, I want to give a special condolences to my dear friend Shakina Black, a coordinator of the Peace and Justice Center in Santa Rosa. Her mother, Molly Ann Black, who was 80, passed away last week, surrounded by family. I want to send her lots of love and light to Shakina and her family. Just another reminder that life is one day at a time, one breath at a time, and to have love and compassion for one another. Oh, it's a hard one when you lose your mother. I remember when I lost my mother. My mother was only 63 years old, and it's just her birthday's coming up, November 20th, and it's funny how you never forget. So, Shakina, my heart goes out to you and your family, and I just want to send you lots and lots of love. Well, I have two announcements here that I think are pretty important. We have something happening on Wednesday on September 13th, which is going to be an important event. It's going to be at the State Building of 50 D Street in Santa Rosa. It's going to be a rally to save SB 562, the Healthy California Act. And it looks like Assembly Member Jim Wood is going to be there speaking on that. So that's going to be this Wednesday, which is 2 days away. Oh, I can't believe, by the way, I should have announced today's 9/11. I don't know why we celebrate it, but we always mention it. This is the day, I think, that really changed history. But this is going to be happening on Wednesday, September 13th from 12 to 2 at the State Building, 50 D Street in Santa Rosa. And again, it's the rally to save SB 562, the Healthy California Act. And that's going to be pretty interesting. And then we have another important meeting coming up, and this is happening on Saturday, September 16th from 10 to 11:30 a.m., and also it's going to be happening on October the 14th, the next month, from 3 to 4:30. It's going to be happening at the Roseland Village Community Center at 779 Sebastopol Road in Santa Rosa, next to the Dollar Tree. The City of Santa Rosa Recreation and Parks Department invites your input to help plan for future development of Roseland Creek Community Park. You know, and this is a very important line. The City of Santa Rosa Recreation and Parks Department invites you to give them your input to help plan for the future development of Roseland Creek Community Park. It's really important that the community become involved. You know, I hear people complain, and I know, because I served on the Commission of Human Rights and also the Community Advisory Board, I get access to a lot of the different events that are going on constantly. And there's a lot of things that are happening in our community that the community can get input in. And I know from personal experience, when you show up and you make recommendations, you would be surprised at some of the changes that you can help facilitate. But if you're not there, if you don't say anything and you have an idea, well, it's not going to happen. So it's important. You know, democracy takes work. And the work has to come from each and every one of us. We have to show up. And here the city's inviting us, saying, come on down. We want your input. You know, you may not get 100% of what you want, but I can almost guarantee that a lot of your stuff would be considered would be considered and would be probably implemented. So that's going to be this Saturday, September 16th from 10 to 11:30 at the Roseland Village Community Center. And after my lecture, I hope you guys show up. Anyway, that's okay. You know, it's important. You know, that's what Women's Spaces is all about, to encourage women to get out there, to participate, to become part of your community, to let your voice. If you're silent, nothing happens. You know, let your voice be known. It's very, very important. Well, I want to remind everybody that the Sonoma County Gazette is on the street. Lots of great articles, including, you know, Radioland, which is written by our KBBF here volunteer staff. And, of course, I have Santa Rosa Snippets, written by yours truly. And also, I want to do a shout-out, you know, to the folks out in Santa Rosa. If you have anything happening in the community, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. Make sure you put your name and your phone number and what the article's about, and I will definitely get in touch with you. I'm always looking for information about Santa Rosa. And also, I want a reminder that you can go to KBBF's website now, www.kbbf.org, and two things are happening that are really exciting. The first thing that's exciting is we're streaming. That means you can tell your friends all across the United States at any time to go to kbbf.org and whatever program's on. You know, we have English, we have Spanish, we have English and Spanish, we have some indigenous language, we have, you know, we have some wonderful, wonderful shows. And now you can, people can listen to it all over the world on kbbf.org. And also, the second thing that I want to let folks know is it's real simple to become a member. Just go on kbbf.org and go find the membership form, fill it out, put your credit card down, and just send it right in. Why is it important to become a member of KBBF? Because we are your local bilingual community radio station. We cannot exist without your support. And the way you can support us, hey, become a member. If you know friends that are have businesses that want to announce their business or something or do some underwriting, just give us a call at 545-8833. Ask for one of the underwriting people here, and they'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. But the most important thing, we all have to become members, at least members of this radio station. And if you do decide to become a member after listening to this show, make sure you mention that Elaine sent you. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break right now, and I really love this song. The song I'm going to be playing is Get Together by Indio Girls, and I think it's so important because we are a community. And we have to come together. We're not perfect. You know, I gave up perfection a long time ago. I mean, I used to be obsessive with being perfect. And I thought, you know something? The only thing that's perfect, I think, is maybe one and one is two. I think that might be something perfect. But nothing is perfect. But it's important as a community that we come together. And so when we come back, I will be talking with Misty Harris, Sonoma County Sheriff's Office Community Engagement Liaison, who will be talking about her position and what's new at the Sheriff's Department. And now, let's listen to Get Together by Indio Girls. And listen to the words.
Love is but a song we sing, is the way we die. You can make the mountains ring. Fading in the grass, yeah. understand. You hold the key to love and fear, holding your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together. How to love one another right now. Yeah, come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together.
We have is now. And I want to add one thing. Smile on your brother and sister. Very important. Anyway, for you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest, Misty Harris. Misty, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome
to Women's Spaces. Misty is from our Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, and she's the Community Engagement Liaison. I'd like to tell my listeners just a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, Misty began her role at the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office Community Engagement Liaison in March 2017. Her duties include building community relations, expanding outreach, and providing education about the sheriff's office policies. She connects with the community through face-to-face interactions, traditional media, and social media. Misty was born and raised in Truckee, California. She moved to Sonoma County in 2001. I moved in 1973 to go to Sonoma State University. She earned a bachelor's degree of arts degree in environmental studies and planning with a minor in Spanish. She worked as a land use planner at the city of Cotati and Sonoma County for 13 years before working at the sheriff's office. Her professional experience includes land use planning, public policy, and community outreach. She focuses her volunteer efforts at the Food for Thought Food Bank as a board member and serving clients in English and Spanish. Well, welcome here. And then she's got a little side note. You look at her, you never think of it. She favorites riding her motorcycle, and especially when she's on a wonderful adventure with her husband. What's your husband's name?
My husband is James.
Well, hi, James. Well, thank you for being here, Misty, and thank you so much. Tell us a little, how did a young woman like you get involved with, I mean, here you come in from the environmental studies and planning.
Yeah.
How did you end up getting in law enforcement and doing something like this?
The short answer is I followed my heart. The long answer is I went to Sonoma State and I got my degree, as you noted, in environmental studies. And after serving the community in Sonoma County for 13 years, I was really looking for something different that would feed my soul in a different way. And I found that what I enjoyed the most about the work I was doing at the county was talking to people and helping them understand policy and process and become empowered in the process. And that is what led me to where I am today. So I was looking for something a little bit different. It was time for a change, as happens to all of us throughout our lives. I saw this job announcement for community engagement liaison, and it struck me in the gut that that's where I needed to be. So I applied. I went through a really lengthy background process. It's not easy. And here I am.
Well, you know, it said it struck you in the gut. What mm-hmm. struck you in the gut about it? I mean, what did you see that was important about this position?
Really an opportunity to do good in the community in a really effective way, to really help people understand what the sheriff's office does, why they do what they do to really improve relationships and be that bridge between the sheriff's office and the rest of the community to bring some more understanding for everybody who works in the sheriff's office, for everybody who's listening today, for everybody who lives here. We have 500,000 people in the county. It's a lot of people to connect with.
Right, and a lot of people to satisfy.
Yes.
everybody has a different opinion. Well, give a little background, you know, because as we know, you know, there's been a lot of ups and downs around mm-hmm. the sheriff's office. We just had Sheriff Freitas just resign. You know, all kinds of different things are happening. And all of a sudden, I mean, it was really kind of surprising to me, actually, when all of a sudden I read it, of all places, of course, in the Sonoma County Gazette. I said, oh, wow, that's when I first contacted you, because yeah. I was really curious. So give us a little history. What was motivating the personnel, or what was motivating the sheriff himself to want to create? Because I imagine it was Freitas who was the one who initiated this.
Yes, you're
so
right.
What was his motivation?
So his motivation, you're right, he was the one who was leading the sheriff's office when this position came into creation and they did the recruitment and everything. And he was really looking for that person who could connect with the community and increase our outreach efforts and kind of take it to the next level. The position itself came from the CAIA task force, and it takes time, as you know, to write a position and get funding and all of that. But that's kind of how it came to be. And so Sheriff Freitas interviewed me personally when I came through, because it was he recognized, I think, the importance of the position for this office and for this community as well.
Okay, so talk about the position. Mm-hmm. What are your job duties? What's a typical day for you? And what are some of your challenges? I mean, it's not an easy thing. You know, everybody, I mean, I can speak most people. You know, when you think about the sheriff's department or the police department, you don't think of it as warm and fuzzy. You know, you think of it as when there's a problem.
Right.
So, but here you are, you're trying to reach out and to make a difference where the community understands more. So it's kind of an interesting mindset when you start thinking about it as a community member. So talk about some of your duties and some of your challenges and how you personally are overcoming them.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. This is a really proactive position. I'm not the person who shows up when you're having the worst day of your life. I'm the person with other team members that I work with who goes out and talks to people before there's an issue and to bring understanding. So every day is different. My calendar's all over the place, but I typically am talking to the media, and I'm typically getting out into the community every week. So for instance, this week, I'm going to be at the Immigration Forum put on I'm blanking on the date. I apologize. But the Immigration Forum with the Board of Supervisors is one upcoming project. I'm going to be meeting with a nonprofit group that is focused on immigration issues. And I'm meeting with a group of probably 11 or 12 community leaders who want to also build that bridge and learn more about the sheriff's office. So I've found that face-to-face connection, that human-to-human connection, really works well in bringing understanding. We work really hard at being transparent, putting more information online, putting more information on social media, answering your questions, but there's something to be said about a conversation. So I do spend a lot of time on that.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you're working with a lot of immigration. So much mm-hmm. is happening now. How, you know, I didn't think of bringing this, but since you brought it up, you know, what's the attitude right now towards immigration at the Sheriff's Department?
So I'm glad you brought it up, because the Sheriff's Office does not enforce immigration laws. So it's not something that we're directly involved in, but it really, the national context really affects our ability to do our job, because getting back to your question about challenges, what's going on nationally is affecting people's perceptions locally, of course, of all law enforcement, and the distrust that, you know, the division, the distrust that is happening right now in our country affects our ability to do our job. And so that's one of the challenges that we're trying to work on as an organization, is building that trust and reaching out and connecting with our communities.
You know, excuse me. You know, there's a what comes to my mind when I'm talking to you, because I've been involved in so many different things integrating with the sheriff's department. John Lennon song, Let's Give Peace a Chance.
Yeah.
You know? And for some reason, that's the feeling I get, you know, mm-hmm. because there's so much fear in the world right now, particularly around law enforcement, mm-hmm. that maybe we have to step back and we have to say to ourselves, wait a minute. You know, they're putting something out. Maybe we are different in our community. Maybe we're trying to change. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be immediate. You know, we're not going to stop having all our problems, 1, 2, 3. But at least it's a beginning to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's what it feels like. And then sitting across from you, and I don't know, you know, I'm pretty much of an activist myself, but sitting across from you, I can't imagine you not wanting to only be the kindest and do the best for the community that you can. So I realize that might be a challenge in itself for people to just trust that maybe something, maybe, like I put the maybe because you're not going to say, oh, yes, oh, let's get out there. You know, you always have to put that maybe in. But maybe if we give it a chance and start working with it, we'd be surprised maybe that things are changing. I just thought I would say that. So give some examples of how you reach out in the community. I mean, what are some things, like you said you had these two things, and what are some future events that you're having? And then I want to make a suggestion to you.
Sure. I'm always open for a suggestion. So kind of stepping back a bit, the Sheriff's Office approaches community engagement in three ways. We have broad general engagement, which is part of what we're doing right now, you know, finding a way to talk to people, holding events, being on social media, going to community groups. We have issue-specific outreach, and immigration is the perfect example. When we have a hot topic come up that we want to find a way to get the facts out there, when there's so much misinformation and so much fear, the facts are really important to empower yourself to know what is actually happening out there. And the third kind of outreach that we do is focused. So that's following a critical incident, getting out into the community to get the facts out there as quickly as possible and, you know, get the information out there as much as we can and handle, you know, what can happen after the critical incident happens. So my efforts so far are on those first two, right? It's on the broad engagement and on the issue-specific engagement with immigration at this point, since that's the hot topic.
Well, yeah, it sounds like a big job.
It is.
You know, it doesn't sound very, very simple. Well, another thing that I'd like you to just explore is that what do you need from the community? I mean, what are some things that reaching out to them, here you are on the air, what are some things that you would like to see come from them and how can they support you in your effort?
Thank you for asking. Your comment about stepping back and realizing that we can come together, I think, is really important. And that's the first thing that I would ask of the community is reach out to us too. It's, the relationship with our community is just like any other relationship. It's built on trust and respect and communication. And I think it's incumbent on everybody to reach out and try to gain some understanding. So you can say hi to us on the street. You can invite us to your group if you'd be so inclined. I'll give you the email address. It's sheriff-outreach@sonoma-county.org. We'd be happy to come out and talk to your group about whatever subject interests you, and take that leap of faith that we are all in this community together. We really are. It's everybody who works here and everybody who lives here. We're all one community. That would be my final message.
Well, I want to make a little suggestion.
Yes.
because I've been around. They've had a lot of these community healing groups and getting together, talking to the community, bringing them together into different high schools. And one thing I think is really important is oftentimes they come with a set of questions that they give each group. These are the questions you're going to explore. And I think if you want to have community involvement, that you should stand up and say, what do you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
And make a list and then let people talk about what is really fired up in their belly. Because oftentimes, if you give a set series of questions, you kind of turn people off, mm-hmm. or you really feel they're not interested in you. At least that was the feeling I've gotten. And I think just when you do these town halls or these opens, let the folks, you know, even if you have them send in pieces of paper, you know, or even voting on what questions, I mean, that's a way that you get teach people. Because too many times we go to places and we're handed something. This is the way it's going to happen. And that is really not fair. Well, we're coming to the end of the of the segment here. And where can community members find, give the website again here, and any additional information you'd like to share, anything that you feel is important?
Sure. So the Sheriff's Office webpage is sonomasheriff.org. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Nextdoor, and Twitter. If you're so inclined, we put a lot of information out on Facebook. You can sign up for Nixle Alerts. We release all of our news releases that way. And again, if you wanted somebody to come to your group, you can email sheriff-outreach@sonoma-county.org. And I guess the final thing I would have to add is that this is a new position for the sheriff's office. We're really committed to community engagement. We're really thrilled. I'm thrilled to be here, and I know that the other members in my office are thrilled to be doing this. And so please reach out, and I really look forward to working with you.
Well, I'm going to send a special invitation out since you come to women's groups. I mean, different groups in the community. Mm-hmm. Give me a chance to do a little announcement here also. You know, I'm also the president for the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter. And on October 18th, we're joining with Molly McGregor from the National Women's History Project. She's going to be doing a presentation on our history, our strength, how we got the vote. But also it's going to be a two thing that's happening, because in 2018, it's 40 years anniversary of the first time that we had the Women's March here in Sonoma County. And that led to the National Women's History Project later on, which was born in 1980. And then also, during that meeting, we're going to be talking about 2020, because in 2020, we will be celebrating 100 years. I can say, oh, yeah, I can't believe it. You know, Misty, it's interesting. When I was born, women only had the vote for 20 years. I mean, that is amazing to me. And, you know, it just gives me the chill. So I really would like to see you, your presence there. I think it's very important to let the community know here's a woman who's really making an effort. Because my belief system is, put a woman in place, things change. Things change. And know that there is a body of women behind you supporting you.
Thank you.
And this is an important position. I wish you all the success in the world. And thank you so much for coming on to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. It's been my pleasure.
Oh, it really has. Thank you. Welcome. Oh, boy. Well, I just want to thank Misty Harris for coming in and being such a great guest. And we're going to take a musical break. And, you know, we're going to be talking about DACA. And I know there's a lot of young people out there that it might be frightened, that are going through all kinds of changes. And I decided to pick this song for our musical break, Hold On, Keep Your Eye on the Prize. And that was a civil rights song, you know, when people were strong, that came out. And I love it. Hold On, the name of Barbara Duane and Lightning Hopkins. And I would like to dedicate this song to all the dreamers out there who trusted our government with their information to become part of DACA. When we come back, I will be talking with Liliane Gayalia, an immigration attorney with Korsky, Purvis, and Bogue, and she will be talking about DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, and what is happening in relationship to this immigration policy that was put in place by President Obama. So here we go with Hold On, Keep Your Eye on the Prize.
Paul and Silas bound in jail, wouldn't let nobody go their bail. Keep your eye on the prize and hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eye on the prize. Of chain, every link to freedom name. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on. Hold on, yeah, hold on. was the day we began to fight. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Well, I got my hand on the freedom plow. Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Keep your eyes on the prize.
Yes, hold on and keep your eye on that prize. You know, I think about my own family who immigrated from Poland, and my father was, his image was, he kept his eye on the prize, and the prize was freedom. Freedom to be free in a free country. Anyway, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest, Liliana Galali.
Yes, thank you.
An immigration attorney with Korski, Purvis, and Bogue, and she will be talking about DACA. Well, welcome. Welcome, Liliana. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here, especially to help answer any questions after that shocking and sad news about the repeal of the DACA program on September 5th.
Well, before we get into that, let me just tell you, our listeners, a little bit about you.
Sure.
Liliana has been practicing law since 2004. Her experience includes immigration law, estate planning, closely held businesses, and nonprofit organization. Before joining with the law firm she's at now, Ms. Galiani practiced transactional law at Towers Law in San Luis Obispo, and later joined her brother at Galiani and Galiani Incorporated Law Firm in Beverly Hills. She earned her bachelor's degree in French language and literature from California State University, Northridge, and Juris Doctor degree from the University of Laverne Law School. Affiliations include membership with the American Immigration Lawyers Association, the Advisory Council of the Sonoma County Human Rights Commission, and for Sonoma County Latino Service Providers, board members of My American Dream. So that sounds so interesting. And this is what's so fascinating about you. You speak fluent Spanish, French, speaks conversational Italian, Portuguese, and Lithuanian. Yeah. Well, welcome. Welcome, Liliana. Welcome to Women's Spaces again.
Anything else
you'd like to add?
Oh, well, it's just my love for immigration has started with being a child of immigrants. Of course, you always learn the plight of the immigrant, and so you can really empathize. But I also am fascinated by different cultures and languages, as you can see from my six languages. But I'm every day so honored and grateful to work with our immigrant community here in Sonoma County. And I get to learn about them and where they come from, and speaking Spanish or different languages. We've got a lot of people from all over the world, a lot of Ethiopians, people from Fiji and Africa. So it's really interesting.
Well, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat that you're in. You know, my father was born in Poland, so I'm only a first-generation American on his side, and my mother's grandmother was born in Russia. So I really feel this heart. And when I hear some of the things that go on, I can't help but think, my God, if that was happening then, I wouldn't be here. You know, and we have to remember that. We really do. Well, talk a little bit, you know, about what have been some of your major challenges in this area? You know, just overall, before you even came into Sonoma County, before you even start working with DACA and all these other different issues, what were some of your major challenges right at the gate?
Okay. Well, immigration law is not intuitive. There was a major overhaul of the law in 1996, but previous parts of the law were kept. So what we have now is a kind of a Frankenstein of sorts. Of a law put together, and a lot of times it just doesn't make sense. It's not logical. You can't guess. You need to check and double check the law before taking any steps. And it's kind of like the tax code. It's, you know, you just need to check it before you do it. So it's not something you can just say, well, this makes sense. For example, of things not making sense, we now have an enforcement system in place called Secure Communities. That is a reporting agreement between ICE, which is the Immigration Enforcement Agency or body, and local jails. So when a person gets booked, but not convicted, just booked, the jail is supposed to notify ICE to come and get that person when they cannot prove legal status in the United States.
The no matter if it's a a big crime or nothing.
Well, exactly. So that is the difference with what was in place with the previous administration under Obama. He had replaced the Secures Communities program with something called the Enforcement Priorities. So that made sense. So when a person came into contact, negative contact with law enforcement, and they had committed a very serious felony or a very dangerous and violent crime, then that law said, or that policy said, all right, yes, local law enforcement should call ICE and tell them about the whereabouts of this person. But if you come into contact with someone for driving without a license, or maybe landscaping without a license, which has happened twice in the last month, and those persons have been here 20 years, have families, have, you know, their jobs, and have committed no other crimes other than those, you know, virtually small misdemeanors, such as driving without a license, those persons under the Obama administration, they were not, the immigration laws were not enforced against them. In other words, they were not automatically put into deportation proceedings. But now that is not the case.
Well, you know, you've been around this a long time, and I mean, this might be a simple question, but it's something that's just racking my brain as I read all this. What is the motivation behind all this? I mean, when you start thinking, when you go back all the way to Ronald Reagan, who gave something like 2 or 3 million people automatic citizenship, and now you have people being arrested, you have people's homes being broken. I mean, what is going? Is this just a diversion, you think, or is this really a problem?
Well, that's a very good question, Elaine. There's the election of President Trump has told us a little bit about 50% of this country or 51% of their sentiment about maybe, I think it's a confusion about the lack of jobs. And there's so much information out there about how important immigrants are to our economy. But I think that there is a different conception in different parts of the country as to, you know, whether that is a problem or a benefit to our country. So, you know, that's very unfortunate. On January 25th, President Trump signed an executive order saying that anyone who's undocumented who has committed any crime is subject to enforcement. So that does not make sense to me, especially when we have a backlog of 600,000 cases in deportation courts, and he's saying that he wants to get rid of serious felons. No, what we're doing is we are backlogging our court system with, you know, minor crimes that have been committed, or, you know, violations that have been committed. And, you know, the serious felons are in that same queue, in that same backlog, and we're not doing what he says, you know, we're supposed to be doing. So it just makes no sense.
I can see that it's a hard question to answer because it doesn't make sense. let's get to the crux of the program. We were going to talk about DACA today because that is really one of my concerns. You know, I served on the Human Rights Commission, and that's when I met Christopher Korski, and that's when I first became aware of DACA. And DACA is actually called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It was the first time I heard about it. And then I saw a film, and I said to myself, my goodness, I didn't even know this was going on in our community. And so talk a little bit about that, and talk about what is going on now. And again, I want to mention this, that the thing that is the most disturbing part about this whole thing is that we had 800,000 young people trusted our government that if they gave the information, they would be safe. I don't think we can back off of that. I think that in itself should motivate us to push forward and do something. I mean, I know we're going to talk a little bit about the DREAM Act. So talk a little bit about what's going on and some suggestions. And I know you had some rules that you wanted people to be aware of.
That's right. So deferred action, of course, was for children that were brought here involuntarily and went to school here and basically had never committed a crime. There are some exceptions to that, but so it's people that have basically known no other country other than the United States. And yes, there were about 800,000 people who qualified for that. It gave them a work permit, and that allows you to get a Social Security number and the regular driver's license as opposed to the AB-60 undocumented driver's license. So you had all your affairs in order. There was a reprieve from deportation. So, and it's a formal legal status. What is happening now is that, of course, that was implemented by President Obama by executive order. So by the stroke of a pen, President Trump was able to cancel the program. In this phase-out phase, there are certain deadlines that need to be met for persons that qualify. So first of all, there can be no new applications after September 5th. So if your application was received on September 5th, then it will still continue to be processed and you will have your work permit for 2 years, of course, if you're eligible. Persons who applied for renewal of their DACA before September 5th, regardless of when their expiration date was, will be able to, those will continue to be processed. Now, this is the public service announcement, the one with the deadline. Persons who have DACA that expires between September 5th and March 5th of next year must apply to renew their application before October 5th of this year. So less than what, 2 weeks? A little over 2 weeks. So please see a professional to help you determine whether you qualify and whether you should renew.
Who would the professional be?
Okay, so attorneys.
It has to be done in a legal, formal way.
Yes, it should. It should, because there are a lot of different issues. If somebody has a crime or something like that in their background that has occurred after they initially got DACA, then I always think it's worth seeing a lawyer to determine that you're not getting yourself into, subjecting yourself into a problem. But there are a lot of groups, nonprofit groups, that also offer services at low bono prices, so that I don't want it to be a deterrent. Our office does it on a low bono basis as well, because we just want people to have access to the legal service.
So go ahead, continue.
So DACA recipients whose DACA has already expired can no longer apply. So if you didn't apply for whatever reason, lack of funds, unfortunately, as it is now, they cannot renew their application in that way. And it's important to remember that individuals with a current work permit can continue with that work permit, and it is valid until the expiration date that is on the card. So we have a couple of clinics that I do personally. I do consultations for free on a monthly basis at the Lombardi Southwest Clinic at the on the first Monday of the month. I do it at the Petaluma Health Center in Ronart Park. So there's no reason to not get access to an attorney who's licensed and knows how to best help you.
Do you have a website or email?
Yes, I will give you my email. That's lgallelli@kp.com. I also have, Kurosky, Purvis & Bogue is our law firm, Facebook, the law firm. I have my own page, and I'm putting all these updates on there.
What we'll do is we'll put your information on our website, so people can get a hold of you.
Sure, thank you.
So what is happening here? I mean, here's the warnings of how they can continue. It sounds like there's some provisions that they can continue. And I'm sure that's on your website also, that there's those things are listed. But what is happening, even though all this, what is happening? Because I understand, are people being deported, or is it happening already? I mean, what is going on? And where do they send these people? I mean, like, for example, if all of a sudden I was a DACA, a recipient, you know, and then all of a sudden I had to be deported. Where would I go? To Poland? I mean, you know, where would they put me? I mean, how do they determine that?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Elaine. So the deportation process is when immigration comes to your door with a warrant with your name on it. Excuse me. You do, as an undocumented person or as an immigrant, have due process rights under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. So you will get the opportunity to fight your deportation case. So what happens is, if you're arrested, they take you down to the financial district in San Francisco, and then they incarcerate you in one of their ICE jails. There's five of them up here in Northern California. And then you have to request a bond. If you don't have serious crimes, usually they'll give you a bond. But the minimum is $1,500, but they're setting them at about $5,000 or more these days. So unfortunately, it's a very, very costly process. Once you're allowed out on bond, then you receive your first date for your court appearance. So you can go back home and go back to your regular life, albeit without your work permit, and then you can attend your immigration hearings. But as I told you, we have a huge backlog, so the process is currently taking about 4 years. So the good thing is, if you're not a serious criminal, you don't have serious crimes, you're not going anywhere anytime soon. There are situations where if someone has a previous deportation, that is a much more precarious situation. But, you know, that persons with previous deportation should probably see an attorney, because they need to determine whether that's an issue or not. So I have a little list of things that people can do and should be doing now. They should see an attorney to screen for other forms of relief. A lot of people have gone maybe to a help center or something like that, but they haven't had a full analysis of whether they qualify for relief. And this happens every day. I tell them, look, you have this other way of getting a visa. For example, if you've been a victim of a crime, there's the U visa. So that's really important to explore. Do not leave the country. Do not leave the country, no matter what happens in your home country, because, as you mentioned before, the DREAM Act that was introduced in July of this year hopefully will make its way through Congress, and that provides for temporary resident status for people.
You know, yes? we're coming to the end of the segment. Time goes by so fast. But I just want to mention the DREAM Act, because I think that we should encourage our listeners to call their congressmen, call your senators, call Washington, encourage them to look at this and vote for this. It's the DREAM Act, and it's the acronym for Development, Relief, and Education for Alien Minors Act. Is an American legislation proposal for a multi-phase process for qualifying alien minors in the United States that would first grant conditional residency and, upon meeting further qualifications, permanent residency. So it's a very important act. I guess, is this overcoming the DACA? Would this replace DACA, something like this?
Yes. I've heard that persons who had qualified for DACA and it was eliminated because of the executive order or the repeal of the executive order, that they would be somewhat automatic in their transition into that.
And folks, and just all you have to do is just Google DREAM Act on the computer, and it'll come up all the explanation. But I really would encourage people to call. Well, what are some other things? We have 3 minutes left here, and before you know it, we're going to be saying hasta la vista. So would you have any other things that you'd like to add?
Yes, I think that people should seek post-conviction relief when they're looking for possible immigration forms of benefits. They should all, if you have a crime in your history, that is very problematic for qualifying for different forms of benefit, immigration benefits. So there's a lot of new laws that have been passed by our governor in California that are really worth looking into, and they may be the only thing that's holding you back from achieving a status. People with DACA should also see school counselors. I know that the SRJC, our local college, has an entire DREAM Center dedicated to counselors who are well-versed in whether they qualify to continue studying as an undocumented individual and whether they qualify for financial assistance, health insurance, and whatnot. So don't lose courage. keep up the fight. Keep abreast of information. Listen to shows like this, and that's
keep
the most
your
important.
Eye on the prize.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Keep your eye on the prize. You know, anything worth having is worth fighting for. I mean, and sometimes it's not easy. But you know, something if we persist and. Anyway, I think we just had an emergency button. I want to make a special thank you. Thank you so much, Leanna. Give your website one more time.
KPBLawyers.com. That's K as in kite, P as in Paul, B as in boy, lawyers.com. And our phone number is 707-433-2060.
Thank you so much. I want to thank Misty Harris, the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, and Leanna Gilali, who is an immigration lawyer. Remember, our children are the future. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I look forward to being with you the next time.